Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we evidently have quite a few people interested in intuition. I think perhaps it would be important, or at least useful, to try to understand a little better some of the mysterious workings that occur within ourselves. And perhaps one of the most important of these is generally referred to as intuition. What it is, how it originates and how it functions, as have not yet been standardized or classified. And perhaps one of the most important and direct means of estimating this faculty is by reference to Buddhism. Because this group, this great Eastern philosophy, explored so many of the subjective aspects of human consciousness. According to Buddhism, man has what is called the six sensory or six sensory machines. These consist of the five senses with which we are familiar and a sixth factor, which is called the mental coordinator. Now, the purpose of the mental coordinator is to compute the testimonies of the sensory perceptions. It further has to bring to bear upon all new evidence, all that is already available within the consciousness of the individual himself. This is almost a problem in modern computerization. Every moment, testimonies of one kind or another are entering into our mental lives through the sensory faculties. Of course, the most important of these faculties are the faculties of sight and hearing. But even those less highly specialized also contribute a variety of supporting evidences of our conduct and our attitudes toward life. The coordinator has as its primary function to digest and assimilate all new evidence and incorporate it into the permanent structure of human insight. This means, in substance and essence, that constantly the individual is adding to his store of knowledge, but is not aware of the process. He pays little conscious attention to the things that occur around him, but subconsciously he is aware of all of it. And we know through hypnotic research and through regression that there is scarcely a detail in the life of the individual which is not permanently recorded. To the Buddhist, this record is due to the constant, precise function of the mental coordinator. This faculty takes control of all types of phenomena. It gives us a constant insight into everything that makes up our daily living. It also exercises a censorship. But when something occurs to us which is contrary to the basic structures of our nature, this difference, this inconsistency, is also listed. Today, especially, the environment is constantly bombarding us with material which is not essential, not useful, and even is dangerous or detrimental. This is also filtered out by the coordinator. And as a result of this, the individual learns not only what to do, but what not to do. There is a relationship between this problem and that of conscience. But conscience is essentially a moral issue arising in the internal psychic integration. The actual record of experience is brought in through the coordinator. Now, the reason this is possible is because nature is a systematic structure. Nature does not feed into the sensory perception. Uncensored material. It brings to the sensory perception a great deal of rather well clarified information. It brings in also new ideas. It reminds us of things long past. It brings the wisdom of our childhood to bear upon the thoughtfulness of our mature years. From the cradle to the grave, the record is unbroken. And into this structure, there is brought such a mass of information that if were it not for the incredible skill of the sensory computer, most of the value of living would be lost. After the information has been brought in and classified and organized and censored by previous information, has been variously cleansed of errors, and has been supported by previous evidence that has been assembled, it then becomes available to us for the re-expression or the externalizing of our attitudes. Attitudes are largely based upon the testimonies of this computerization process. Now, as we study this a little more carefully, we find some interesting points. Namely, that nearly all information regarding to the material life of man originates in his environment. The individual is placed in a situation in which he is constantly taking in material, reorganizing it, and releasing it again into his environment. Therefore, in silence, he gains the wisdom of the coordinator. And every time he opens his mouth, he expresses some part of this coordinated knowledge. Actually, we are not conscious of a large part of the basic factors of attitudes. We do not know really why we think the way we do. We do not know why we have certain reactions to occasions and occurrences. We do not know why we suddenly blurt out something that we did not intend to mention. Nor do we know why, in another moment, we hold secret that which might be beneficial to general knowledge. We have a dispositional factor. And this dispositional factor represents to a very great degree the workings of the conscious mind. The coordinator, however, goes behind the conscious mind. It goes back to the very root of intellection within ourselves. Therefore, it is quite possible for the individual, living only upon the surface of his perception, to be easily deluded, to misunderstand, and have poor judgments on a variety of matters. He is then, so to say, speaking off of the front of his mind, or thinking from that front. This thinking is also supported by the faculty perceptions. They not only testify to value, but in an undigested state, they bear witness to occurrences as they appear to be. It is only after the evidence is passed through the coordinator that its basic value is clearly determined. One of the reasons why we have so much trouble in our daily living is that we are unable to allow the coordinator to function properly. We are constantly interfering with it, or trying to. The interference is on the surface because we cannot get back into it. The interference arises from superficial thinking and undisciplined attitudes. The individual is the hopeless victim of his own mental processes, or is completely dominated by his emotional intensities, is not aware of the availability of any higher form of thinking. He is simply limited to the immediate. That which comes in goes out instantly. But the record that passes through the coordinator still continues to exist, but is not so quickly or easily accessible. If, therefore, we study people carefully, we realize that intuition is of many degrees and occurs variously in different age groups. It's much more commonly found in the feminine than in the masculine temperament, and is perhaps very powerful in small children. This is due largely to the fact that the conscious mind has not interfered with the intuitional process, which has brought into play not only the evidence of the present existence, but to a large degree the balance of previous life patterns. This coordinator extends back to and into previous embodiments because it is the reservoir of the complete accessible knowledge that the person has accumulated in his evolutionary process. This knowledge is not carried forward as simple incidents. It is carried forward in the form of general value, final conclusions, ultimate decisions as they arise in the processes of living. The intuitive person, it is most likely to be a person who is essentially mentally and emotionally honest. Intuition functions in spite of mental interference to some degree, but more clearly and completely where this mental interference is eliminated. Now, how do we eliminate the mental interferences that arise every day? How do we escape from false, superficial testimonies? The interval between the coordinator's function and that of the objective mind is greater than most people realize. The objective mind is simply arriving at a series of superficial conclusions on all subjects, whereas the coordinator brings out only a seasoned account. Now, the sensory perceptions will have much more in them in the form of information than we first realize. But if we are constantly betraying the testimonies, if we fail to allow this coordinating process to function smoothly and directly, we are less intuitive. We are intuitive largely to the degree that we get out of the way of the computerizing process. If we constantly interfere with it, if we constantly go against its testimonies, if we constantly press our own personal attitudes against that which is best, we will have trouble. Now, intuition is most obviously available where there is less interference with the processes of learning. False learning betrays the coordinator, but does not attain a victory because the coordinator sorts it out. But it can betray the conscious mind. It can lead the conscious mind into a variety of difficulties. One of the laws in nature, which we cannot resist, is the law of cause and effect. The computer works upon this basic fact all the time. every cause has an effect. When we use the frontal thinking of the mind only, causes and effects are hopelessly confused. But they are never confused in the coordinator. Everything that we do has results and consequences. If we perform an action without any particular intellectual support, the results will be heterogeneous. Some will be good, some will be bad, some will be worthless. But other ways of approaching the problem indicate that within ourselves, the coordinator already knows from its accumulated statistics almost exactly what the consequences will be of any action which we indulge in. The coordinator is prophetic, not because it has some mysterious faculty beyond comprehension, but because it is basically, essentially, and eternally honest. And honesty inevitably results in a kind of prophetic power. We see this around us in society. We are today faced with numerous examples of it. Thoughtful persons realize that the present dilemmas are largely due to our own making, that we are responsible for the conditions which affect us adversely. A few, 20, 25 years ago, proclaimed exactly what is happening now. They knew it was going to happen. They knew it had to happen under a world governed by immutable laws and facts. Those persons who saw more clearly are the ones who took advantage of the testimonies of the coordinator. They knew that these things had to happen. But the majority, using the frontal mind only, refused to accept the operation of cause and effect. They preferred to think in terms of luck, of providence, or of some strange intercession that was going to take care of everything, rather than to trust to the internal faculties which would have given them intuitive insights. They preferred to continue in their way, deny the obvious, and finally fall into the dilemma. So intuition, in one sense of the word, is simply a clear recognition of values. It is possible in almost every instance to determine the outcome of any course of action by considering the motives which impelled it, the methods by which this action was carried out, and most of all, its final relationship to universal law. Is it acceptable to the law? If it is not, it is doomed to fail. Actually, however, these large concerns are not always so obvious to us. For there are all kinds of experiences and circumstances which can affect the intuitional process. We know, for example, that there are laws governing the structure of the human body. Lavater, the great physiologist and physiognomist, pointed out that everyone's fortune is written on it. But we do not know this, and we do not notice it with the superficial faculties that we possess, but the coordinator does. The coordinator notices it because in the subconscious of ourselves, we have already passed through similar experiences. We have already been deceived in the same way many times ago. We have made false pretenses, not just once, but hundreds of times. And the outcome of every attitude that we take is obviously to be determined by reference to our own internal reference frame. Thank you.
do something for you now.
Surprise, motherfucker.